Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to episode 17 of season 2 of Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes, part of the National Podcast Post-Month Challenge. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening throughout this month as I'm playing catch-up and making sure that I get to the finish line of 30 episodes completed in 30 days. This has been a blast going through my writing history, and this particular episode is really special because this was the first time that I got to see something that I have written actually be up on a screen. I'd done readings for one-act plays and other scenes from my playwriting classes, but this was going to be something that was actually going to be filmed. And it really started in the summer of 96. I told the story earlier this month. It was during a time when I was just kind of fading in and out of sleep and not really wanting to go to bed yet, just coming across this one random episode of the 700 Club. And they were talking about Benjamin Netanyahu right after he was elected Prime Minister of Israel for the first time. This was a wild thing because a lot of people on the right and the religious right were really skeptical of this guy. One person, I forget who it was, but they started saying that they were trying to equate Benjamin Netanyahu with the Antichrist. They were trying to equate Benjamin Netanyahu with the Antichrist. And that was interesting because they were saying that the Antichrist gains the trust of the people of the world and then enslaves them. And so that's basically what they said he was going to do. He was going to be the next step towards enslavement. And that got me thinking that it's very dangerous to say something like that. It's only a matter of time before someone actually takes action thinking that they're doing the Lord's work. We've seen that in a lot of other stories. This one was my take on it. And it started out as a two-page exercise in my playwriting class. It was basically sitting in an interrogation room where the guy responsible for someone attempting to take the life of the new English prime minister was being detained. As an added bonus, I gave it one last twist right at the end and said that the guy was right. The English prime minister was going to introduce the barcodes that go on people's wrists, which a lot of people equated as the mark of the beast. That was basically what I was going to do with that. I picked at that idea a little bit more, especially during the second semester of my senior year. I was wondering something about this. I'm not sure what it is, but let me try exploring a little bit. I kept picking at it, and it got to a point where I started calling it something. I called it Something to Believe In. I was inspired by the Poison song, Something to Believe In, especially considering the first verse of that song when Brett is singing, well, I see him on the TV preaching about the promised land, tells me believe in Jesus, steals the money from my hand. Lord, some say he was a good man. Lord, I think he sinned. And so That was a definite inspiration there because this main character, who I would later call Gabriel, and I know it's very subtle, he would be someone who felt like he was doing the Lord's work. He was someone who just absorbed all of this religious programming day in and day out, and then finally he decided that the way ahead was clear. He was going to seek out the English prime minister while he was making a big trip to the U.S. and take him out. That wound up being the main thing. After he is caught, he winds up being interrogated by the officer who took him in and his partner, his new partner, was very much like a younger soul and someone who is really just getting initiated into the ways over at the NYPD. It wound up being a really interesting setup. I kept on going at it, and I think it wound up being about 20 pages long. I think it's what it wound up being. And the overall product, I thought, was solid. but I didn't know what to do with it. I showed it to my friend Carlos Moreno, and he looked at it, and I still remember to this day, he wrote a message on my dorm room door and just said, "You have a sick mind and I love it. I'm in." He wants to make this movie. And so the more we were talking, the more it was just like, wow, we're doing this. We're actually going to do this. I even got some money fronted to me by my mother. It helped us to secure some equipment and get the different props that we needed and just really put something together. We actually wound up having a casting session in the Rathskeller Lounge down at Marymount. The whole process was just fabulous. It was so cool. And there was a real good amount of people that were curious about this, that wanted to take part in it. That's a great thing when you go to a theater school. When you have a project that needs actors, the actors come calling. You don't need to yell too loud. They're going to hear you, and they're going to want to be a part of this. And so it was just an amazing experience. I even got someone out of nowhere. I believe Carlos made some connection with an actress named Christine Byers. And she wound up auditioning for the role of the younger cop. I wound up taking the same character who was a bit more hardened in the script I had written before, Seeking Retribution. I decided to make this kind of a prequel to that. I was going to have her be the driving force in parts one and two. She was going to be the link between the two stories. And that wound up being a really cool setup, because then I got to say that if Seeking Retribution were ever to be made, then I have her locked in as that character. The whole setup was a blast. She was not only great in the role, but we were able to keep in touch for a few years after that. I don't think she's involved in acting anymore, but I know that she was in the Dean Cain movie Dragonfighter that was on the Sci-Fi Channel. So that was great, being able to see her there. I thought that was a really cool experience. She wanted to be in this short film. She got to be in this short film. She kept it on her resume. Like, that in itself was very flattering. Overall, the whole experience filming this production was special. What was really cool was that we got to screen the finished film in the dance hall over at the school. And I just remember being so nervous that I was pacing back and forth in the back. I was letting everyone enjoy the movie and everything, but overall, I was very nervous. And thankfully, with the exception of a few moments that I felt the actors went a little bit too off book, I feel like I was shortchanging myself during the filming, because there were certain things I really wanted to see happen, but I didn't speak up. Because of that, there was some additional improvisation allowed, and the setup for the final scene in the movie didn't quite have the same feel that I was hoping for. Overall, it wound up being a success. We finished a film that I wrote and have credit on, and it's something I am still proud of to this day. Just the fact that we were able to get it done. And little did I know that there was more to come when it came to screenplays for me. I was just getting started. It turns out that I had something not too shabby on the horizon. And so that's something that I am looking forward to talking about a little bit more in the next episode, because at this point, I had already gone through my second semester of college, and now I was ready to graduate. I had no idea what I was going to do next. And when that happens, a project comes to mind. And this project wound up being a pretty big one. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you as well. And it's something that wound up being a few years coming, because this was something that I'd come up with while walking around Amsterdam Avenue in 1995. So I'll be going into more details about that in the next episode. Until then, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.